The whole paragraph of La'olam yehi Adam that goes all the way till we've said the Shema, at least the first line, and the bracha of Mekadesh Shmei Berabim, has an incredible history. It goes to back to days of persecution when it was dangerous to utter Shema in public. And therefore, La'olam yehi Adam b'seisa v'galui, right, you've got to preserve within your heart where only Hashem's eyes can penetrate that which we are forbidden to proclaim openly. And that's why this bracha is going to end Mekadesh Shmei Berabim, who will have his name sanctified amongst the many. What's the history? The prayer was probably first introduced in the time of a Persian king called Yezgirid II. Why? What did he do? He forbade the Jews of the realm to observe Shabbos and also say Shema. This is approximately in the mid-400s CE. What does he believe in? He is a believer in Zoroastrianism, dualistic Persian religions where they believe in a son of light and a son of darkness and forces of good and forces of evil that are independent of each other. And obviously that stands in stark contradistinction to everything that Judaism stands for. We believe in Hashem Echad, one God, one source, perfect, united, indivisible. And therefore the Jews were singled out as a special target of his zeal because of their belief in monotheism and the fact that we believe in Bria Yesh Me'ayin, creation ex nihilo. This guy, this king, who no one remembers apart from us, has been consigned to the dustbin of history, but not before he had guards posted daily to the shuls to actually supervise our davening, to ensure that Shema Yisrael wasn't said. This is brought in Sefer Paradis of Rashi, that they remained at their post until the third or fourth hour because they knew that the time for saying Shema would have passed and they'd achieved their objective for the day. And therefore the purpose of this tefillah was to outwit them, outsmart them. It was to enable everyone to read Shema for themselves in private before the beginning of davening. And therefore they could elude the king's detectives. Truth is, even if one doesn't say the full Shema, b'di'eved b'shas adchak, in an emergency, even just saying the first pasuk is considered at least fulfilling the mitzvah Shema min ha-Torah. And also, it's interesting, this is the reason why we say Shema in Kedusha of Masif as well, because they didn't want to get it completely, to expunge it completely from our davening, and therefore, after the Zman Shema, when it's time for Masif, we put it back in surreptitiously into the Kedusha as well. It all goes back to the same time. The persecution only lasted for 5 years. After that, he was gone. We were allowed to say Shema again, in shul, b'tzibur, with a minyan as we should and as we do. However, the Chachamim of those days decided to retain these prayers to make known the miracle of deliverance for all generations. We have a long memory as Jews. We remember our persecutors, not just for the trials and tribulations that they've put us through, but also because of what we gained as a result of it. It sounds like a strange thing. We gained an additional reading of the Shema. We gain a bracha of Kiddush Hashem every single day. We gain focus, perspective, Mesiras Nefesh. Because that's who we are as Jews. We do not allow our adversaries to crush us. And that's why the Gemara likens us to an olive, because when you crush us, the good stuff comes out. That's when we really give off our light. That's when we can achieve our potential. And therefore, by remembering these events through in our tefillahs, we're actually tapping into that incredible strength that we have.